Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 30 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Clear. 29 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Clear. 26 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
Good morning, Dakota. Happy Monday.
Good morning. Happy Monday. I didn't think I was going to hear anyone out here.
Yeah, just looked at the clock and turned on the radio, and within like 10 seconds, you called out.
I know a lot of the guys out here generally have these holidays off, so I figured I'd throw my call out and see who's listening, so good morning.
Oh, I forgot. It's a holiday. Okay, yeah, good to know. And you still gotta go.
Sure do. My biggest complaint about this industry is there's no holidays really, other than the major ones, and then you just gotta make up for it on the following day or weekend or whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's true. My career was always in the service industry. It was all right, though, because even though I had to work, most places I had to service were closed. So there was that. It was kind of like an easy day, usually.
Yeah, it reminds me of my MSP days when I had to, quote, work and pay, have my computer be ready to jump on if I needed to, but never really did a lot.
Yep. I haven't looked out yet. Is it foggy this morning?
No, surprisingly not. I let my dog out this morning at 3 and it was very foggy, and then I woke up and just left a little bit ago, and it's totally fine.
All right, very good. Because yesterday, when I was up early, and it was pretty clear, and then as the morning went on, it got super thick for a while, so that was kind of crazy. Couldn't even see the house across the street from me.
It's been weird, just that little bit of warm-up. I couldn't believe how much fog there was.
Yep, I'll take it. Let's get rid of the snow. Hopefully we're over the big temperature hump. I know we're going to almost hit 50 this week at some point, and then it's going to drop back down again. Not extremely cold, but we'll have another dip before it gets better.
It is hard to believe that we're more than halfway through summer right now, and it's either going to go early spring or we're going to be doing this crap till April.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. So we're switching from clear the snow mode to mow the lawn mode. Hopefully there's a little break between. We don't got to do nothing. Well, I'm sure there will be.
I'm not looking forward to that transitionary period because I'm still in that awkward intermediate lawn phase where it's obviously not fully established yet, and I still need to do some work to it, like fertilize and overseed and all that, and it's a muddy mess if it's raining or melting, so it's like, when do you do that?
Yeah, I got a new front lawn a couple years ago, I remember that. And back lawn, I had the front lawn resodded, and the back lawn, I got that seed layer thingy, kind of spongy stuff that you throw down, and that whole year, maybe even 2 years, was really awkward. The best bet is stay off it unless it's dry.
Yeah, that's the plan, so I just have to kind of watch it, and unfortunately, I can't do anything. I mean, I might be able to walk a push spreader, but I know that I won't be able to use the four-wheeler for my toe-behind spreader to fertilize and all that, so. It'd be nice if we got a melt. Maybe the next time it freezes, I probably could fertilize now. I wonder how that would work. If it would just, eventually, when everything started to melt, start seeping into the soil.
Good morning from KE4ZYQ.
Alrighty, yeah, I think it's going to dip into the 20s after the 50s this week. That's not a bad idea. Lay it down there when it gets harder. It may not be frozen yet, but I would try that. That's a good idea. And other than that, you got to let it be ugly when it's wet. Don't do something and mess it all up. So that's the hard part, is the patience and just letting it be. KE8VSI, ZYQ, go ahead and then pass it to Dakota.
KE4ZYQ, good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm sitting here hearing you talk about lawns and everything else. I used to have a house in Tennessee before I moved back to Michigan. I took care of everything, had a great lawn. It wasn't a chore, it was fun to do, take care of it, get it thick and tall and everything else home-wise, but well, am I glad I don't have to take care of any of that stuff now, being disabled, but retired. But anyhow, over to you, Dakota. Good to hear you guys.
Good morning, Joe. I don't mind taking care of a lawn. We had to build a yard, so I'm starting from absolute scratch. And we put a bunch of material down last fall, and the front yard actually came in pretty damn good. I was very happy with it. Excited to see what is going to pop this spring, because a lot of it didn't thicken up as much as I'd hoped, but we went into that drought. Go figure. It rains all spring, and then summer's just dry as a bone, and my grass is just not happy. So we seeded in the fall. I was cutting the grass in October, so that was exciting, but it's, you know, it's like you said, Greg, it's that awkward intermediate stage where the grass doesn't look super healthy. You got a bunch of patches, you got weeds, so that's where we're at. Thankful I bought a new four-wheeler because that's going to help a ton. The old one was kind of not meant for working. It was like a trail four-wheeler. I got a utility one now. So pulling, you know, little implements, spreaders and thatchers and all that crap, I can at least do.
All right, very good. Yeah, that's cool. You got that little piece of equipment. That helps a lot. I'm fortunate my stuff's small enough. I don't need that, although it would be fun. And to your point, Joe, yeah, I enjoy it for the most part. You know, when it's super hot out, I might not like doing the yard work, but other than that, I find it enjoyable. It gets me off my butt and a little bit of exercise and kind of good for the soul, I guess you could say. Go ahead, Joe.
Guys, I have to say, I was shocked when I moved down to Tennessee. In my first house, a small starter home, I had a pretty good sized lot. I mean, a big backyard fenced in. I fenced it in for the dog, and I took care of it, but I threw some seed down when I started the lawn. And it was a brand new home, by the way. They put a little bit of a lawn in when they built the subdivision. I was on the main street of the big subdivision. It was a starter home, one level, two bedroom, bath and all. But the thing was, is people down there, they cut their lawn too short, and then they don't know how to fertilize it once in a while or put the right kind of grass down for the southern weather in Jackson, Tennessee. But I had both houses. I had probably the best lawn on the block, but I wasn't trying to compete. I was just trying to have a lawn. But everybody looked at the lawn and said, man, look at that. I said, well, you don't cut it too short because the heat will dry it out, and then your grass won't grow and you'll have dirt. I had a guy across the street. Let me reset. ZYQ. The last house I had down there, the guy across the street, when he cut his lawn, it looked like a dust bowl. I mean, he was cutting it so short to the ground, and obviously it'll dry out. You won't have much grass. You'll have a dirt. Over you, Dakota.
26 degrees.
That ain't DBF. That's the ticket. You can't scalp your lawn. 3.5 inches, I think, is what they recommend. That's what I've been cutting mine at least, and especially with a new lawn. I just want to, I told my wife, I'm like, I don't even care what it is. It just has to be green and there cannot be dirt. You know, I'll worry about weeds and thickening the lawn and making it healthier later.
Yeah, I totally agree. Green and no dirt. The rest of it you can deal with. So hopefully it'll fill in nicely for you and then you can tackle the rest of that. Might not even be this year, though, so you really got to be patient. I know how that is. I just, like I said, I did that a couple years ago. I forget what else I was going to say. Joe, the length of the lawn, yeah, mine's at 3.5-4 inches. Definitely, I've always done mine a little longer just because it keeps the moisture a little better. And whenever I, you know, early on, in my younger years, I did it short a couple times and noticed immediately that that's not the way to go. The only time you do that is if you're on a golf course and you got proper irrigation and all that. I don't need a putting green. I want a nice thick lawn. KEA-BSI. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, KE-4ZYQ. The first home I owned down there, guys, is kind of funny. The backyard had a row of pine trees that were right in a row, and then there was a gap in between the last one to the left and the next one going to the right. So I put in a hammock chain. I put a chain around the trees and put a hammock there, two-person hammock. That's pretty neat. And the only one like that in the backyards of the houses. But I almost had heat stroke one time in the backyard of that one, cutting it with a lawnmower during the day. And it was their weekend. And I took a bottle of water, mounted a handle thing or a pulley to put a bottle on the riding lawnmower. So I had water and I had a hat on. But I didn't realize how hot it was. It didn't bother me, the heat, other than almost having a heat stroke. I had to stop and get in the shade and just quit for a while, go back later and cut. But it was so easy to have a heat stroke in the temperature down there. But I didn't feel it. I liked the warm weather. Over here, Dakota.
When we got all of our dirt, I brought in 3,000 yards of dirt, so 2,000 of fill and 1,000 of topsoil. and it was unscreened topsoil. So after I had it all graded the second time, there was tons of rocks and garbage in it. The dirt was good, but it wasn't screened, so there was so much crap we had to pick out of it. So we spent the rest of the summer hand-picking rocks and glass and garbage and you name it out of this what would be great dirt so we could get the yard prepped, right? Because once you throw seed down, you can't really clean that stuff up. And I borrowed KTMR's Kubota with a landscape rake on the back of it, and I spent one day, I raked the whole yard. I spent, I think, 7 hours on that tractor, and when I got off that tractor, I was a lobster, and I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, I can see that happening for sure. 7 hours, yeah, you must have been cooked. Jeez. Yeah, I tend to run hot, and I get uncomfortable real quick when it's hot out. So I'm usually quite aware, and I'll stop and take breaks, come into the air conditioning for a little while, only on the super hot days, though. Other than that, my yards are small, front and back are both small enough. Some days I can do both front and back nonstop. Some days I do front, take a break, and then do back. And some days I break it up even more if it's super hot out. But, yeah, you definitely got to be aware of the heat and then, of course, the water, like you said. KEVSI, I'm going to step away for a little bit. Go ahead, Joe. I'll check back in once I get back to my desk.
KE4ZYQ. One thing, Dakota, I had a neighbor who was very nice neighbors, this man and woman, husband and wife, and he taught at the college, community college, not far in the city I lived in. And when we moved in, we got to know him. We told him we were putting up a chain link fence. I says, if you want to bring your fence from your house to our driveway or where the fence covers, you know, part of our driveway or side of the road or side of the yard next to theirs, they could run another chain link fence to kind of block off their backyard, you know, if they put one along the back in the opposite side of theirs. And you know what they did? They put a whole fence line right alongside our fence that divided our backyard from theirs. They didn't even need to do that. I said, just pretend it's both of our fences. All you got to do is connect your front yard and put one in the back and on the opposite end of the other side of the backyard. They ran a whole length of chain link right on next to ours going to the back. I'm thinking, what a waste of chain link. Back to you.
KEAWOJ. See what happens when you don't lock the door?
Morning, Rick. Yeah, Joe, my old house was fenced in. Missed that part of it. It was super convenient for the kids and the dog. You don't have to worry about it. But we did the same thing. We just tied into the existing fences and instead of doubling them up, and it worked out for all the neighbors, and it looked nice. It was all uniform. All the fences ran together instead of having them staggered or gaps between them. I don't know why they would do that. Pick it up, Rick. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Just wandered out here on the porch and having my morning cigar here. Heard you out there. Thought I'd interrupt you. I hope you're all doing good this morning. Not sure who else is there or where it goes, so next one, go ahead.
Just left a little room there, KE4ZYQ. Good morning, Rick. Let's see if Greg was coming back in from his desk or something. But, yeah, it was crazy. A neighbor down south there next to our yard put a whole length from front to back chain link. What a waste of money. I told my wife, why'd you do that? Our fence is your fence, part of it, with your dog. He had a little snout, what do you call it, a wiener dog. One of those little wiener dogs. No big dog or anything. So, anyhow. Yeah, you missed the fog there, Rick, when you got out now. Earlier, when I woke up earlier, I looked outside. They had the frozen fog, I think they call it. Over to you, Dakota.
You're connected to CMN Network.
I'm surprised that there's hardly any fog. First off, I guess there's a tiny bit of concentration in some of my machines. But I'm also surprised that there's no traffic at all. I don't know if it's going to be without presence or off, but then again, the
Well, I was out over here at 5 till about 6:30, and I didn't see no fog at all, but I saw a real nice buck. It was at least 3 deer in the backyard there, and I was amazed the buck still had his rack there. It was a nice one, too. Joe, go ahead.
I guess Greg's not getting back in there yet, KE4ZYQ. Well, Rick, you need to put a little deer feed place, a little bucket out there, feed for the deer, and then when it gets close enough to the house and you're on the porch, you need to find a way to grab one of those suckers, you know. I don't know if you could do a bow and arrow or what, but you get some yearly meat there if you could sneak one of those deer into the house after you put it down, of course. But you could be feeding it there. Get a little bucket of feed out there. What do you think, Dakota?
Yeah, go ahead and wrestle that bad boy into the house. I've wrestled a couple that were wounded, and they still put up a hell of a fight. I cannot imagine wrestling a healthy 2-3-year-old whitetail.
Well, I don't really need the meat, and I couldn't even drag it into the garage, let alone hang it and gut it and butcher it and skin it. But I know what a lot of guys do for the racks is they'll put out a little bait pile there, and right along tight to the bait pile they'll put some chicken wire, and then this time of year when the bucks go down to eat, their antler will get caught in the chicken wire and kind of just snap right off because they're just about ready to fall off right now, and then they just wander out there and pick them up. Easy peasy. Joe, go ahead.
KE4ZYQ in the group. I'm just waiting to make sure Greg is coming back in there. If he's listening, he needs to jump back in there. You don't have to sit out. But, yeah, I can imagine that with the antlers. Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Good place to hang your hat, I guess, if you could mount it properly. Over to you, Dakota.
Greg, I think we've had this conversation. I've only shot 2 bucks my whole life, and mainly because I don't really want to do anything with them. I got that 10-point Euro mount in my basement that's just collecting dust. It's not even Euro mounted. It's just prepped for Euro mount. I don't know. I'd have to shoot an absolute ridiculous whitetail to do a shoulder mount. Or have, you know, I'd have to have like a man cave or something to put it, but that's really why I don't like shooting these bucks. A, I don't think they taste as good. B, cost more money after the fact because then I got to get it all prettied up and, you know, do stuff to it. So I just been whacking those.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think I've only shot 3 or 4 bucks my life two time too, and they were all spikes. I've never seen anything in the woods during the season with a rack. Day after the season, yeah, but not during the season. Or I should take it back. I did see one. He was quite a ways out there and on a off the private land that I was on and onto another piece of private land, so I didn't take the shot there. But there was one across the road, what was it, a year ago, 2 years ago, and I'd never seen nothing like it. I pulled up 5 feet from him in somebody's front yard, chewing at the grass there. He must have had at least 20 points, all of them like swords, all sticking straight forward. I just never seen a rack like that. I was almost willing to wreck the car to get that thing. But it was amazing. I'd never seen one like that before. Joe, go ahead. KEAWOJ.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Rick, you never fail to get me smiling over here or laughing a little bit. They're willing to wreck the car for that. Boy, I can only imagine what that rack and that deer looked like. Amazing. Yeah, you don't see many of those. I've never shot a deer, never probably will now. Only in video games. I don't think that counts. Over to you, Dakota.
If you see that rolling around, you got to imagine someone's giving it minerals and supplements, right? Like, that's a non-typical like that where you're at. I don't know. It's got to be, someone's got to be feeding it all kinds of goodies.
Well, to be honest, I felt sorry for any buck that went up against him. All maybe 20 of them points were pointed forward. I think the shortest ones were over a foot long, sharpened like daggers, thick, and can you imagine him getting in a fight with some other poor slop deer and having 20 of them daggers sticking them in the face kind of thing? It's just it's incredible.
They're unbelievable critters, and it never ceases to amaze me how tough they are until they go up against my 165-grain FVXs.
That KE4ZYQ. Well, I could imagine that deer trying to take a person down. That would be terrible. I mean, that's like having several guys try to attack you with knives. It's only worse. That deer knows how to operate those antlers a lot of times. They know what they got. Over to you, Dakota.
Well, as I was saying, the further south I got, the worse the fog got, and I'm approaching my building here, and it is bad, 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 like 100 yards in front of me, and that's about it. So I'm all about here at work. I'm going to clear out for this last mile so I can make sure I don't smoke anything in the road, but it was good talking to you guys, and I'll probably catch you this afternoon. I'll listen out at 8 DBM.
Okay, 7-3, Dakota, have a good one there. Always good to catch up with you. And yeah, that buck, I was parked, I stopped the car in the road in the subdivision across the road there, and I was 5 yards from him. I wanted to roll down the window and take a picture, but I didn't want him to bolt away kind of thing. I just stared in amazement. But anyway, have a good one there. We'll catch you later, KEWOJ. Joe, go ahead.
Hi, Dakota. Thanks for the QSO and the ride along. Have a good day at work and safe travels home. And don't be following Rick's advice. Don't be taking out any deer with your car. We don't want to hear about you getting in an accident. Hi, hi. But 73-84-ZYQ.
Well, Joe, I drive a 20-year-old car, so it wouldn't be any big deal.
Yep, could have said that. Well, I don't blame you, though, seeing something like that a once-in-a-lifetime or three lifetimes or whatever. Just the way you described it, I've seen deer with antlers and nothing like that, so I can imagine with you being a hunter or have hunted and seeing one like that, oh, my gosh, this is a once-in-a-5 to 10 lifetimes to ever see something that extravagant. I can only picture what you described, and I got a good imagination.
Well, I got a couple little friends that are hardcore antler hunters, and they would have risked a felony. If I got the picture and showed it to them, they'd have risked a felony to come on down here and try to get that thing. I don't really understand it myself, but it was amazing. It was the nicest one I've ever seen, that's for sure.
Yep, QSL that, KE4ZYQ. Well, I assume if he had a rack like that, he was a big boy then. Was a pretty good size.
Oh, he was all right. It was kind of early fall, and his neck was kind of thickened up, and he had a really nice, clean, shiny coat kind of thing. But he wasn't that awful big, actually. Just kind of average size, I suppose.
I don't know if this statement or saying applies to deer, but I would think with him, with his rack like that, with that old saying, speak softly and carry a big stick. Well, I think he was kind of following the deer way of life that way.
Yeah, 20 of them. All pointed forward. I thought, my God, if he got into it with another buck kind of thing, you know, with 20 of them all pointing forward there, the poor thing's going to get its eyes poked out.
Well, not being a hunter, I never have, but still, I've seen a lot of deer in my time driving up north or more, you know, around.
And to picture that, I mean, literally what you describe, I'm sure somebody has seen a lot of deer or even hunted to see something like that. I can, oh my gosh, it's a once in a lifetime or two. Not very many people see that deer that outfitted and that defined. Yeah, like I said, I would love to see that myself. Even being a non-hunter, I would have loved to see it. You should have taken a picture.
Yeah, I was so flustered I didn't think of it until I was driving away kind of thing. But one time when I lived up in Lapeer there, I used to drive out by the edge of the Lapeer State Game Area there to some farmland out there and a bunch of private land surrounding it. Yeah, and there was a soybean field out there. And I used to go out there in the evening and watch the deer go out into the soybean field. And there was this group of bucks. There was like four bucks. The big one was a 12, and then a 10, an 8, and then I think there was a four corn that was with them. And believe it or not, I never heard of this before. They had a doe that stuck with them in the group. And the doe was the guard dog kind of thing. I kind of looked up on this little hill, and there was the 12-point standing there looking at me in the sitting in the van. And the other two bucks were standing there, too, looking. And the doe went out into the road, a gravel road, and looked both ways and looked around to make sure it was clear, and saw the van I was in but didn't see me. And she waited a little bit, and then she took off in the field. That was apparently to check, make sure it was safe for the bucks to come out. But the bucks had seen me, so they turned around and went the other way.
Yep, QSL that, KE4ZYQ. Well, you know approximately where I live, and I'm going to populate the area. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of fields or trees or, you know, big wide open areas. And I get, or have gotten twice this year, this winter, four or five deer, non-antlered, of course, but they're walking like a military expedition spaced between each other and like in a straight line, and the lead one's going through looking around, and then about a second or two later another one comes, and then another one, then another one. And they're walking like military guys on a mission. And they're looking around as they're walking in tandem like that. And I've seen that twice now, go right across my driveway, down the street, around the corner to this little ravine, I guess, where there might be water in it. But they're walking right through the subdivision like a military expedition. It's amazing how they do that.
I was up north one time on opening day, and I see these six does. My friend had shot one, and it took off, so we were kind of tracking and going kind of slow and looking for blood trails and stuff. And I heard something, and I looked up behind me, and there were six does all following in a line, nose to tail, nose to tail, nose to tail. And the first one happened to look up and see me, and she put the brakes on and stopped real fast, and the other five ran into the other. They all ran into each other. They were all freaked out because all the people, it was state land, all the people running around all over the place. They were looking for a place to go, and everywhere they were going, they were running into people. But it was funny seeing them all run into each other.
I can only picture that. That would be crazy. I've seen here this year, this winter here, not too long ago, weeks ago, a red fox, a couple rabbits, and the red fox was shocking before we had a major snow. That thing walked across the driveway. I could see that thing. It's like, what? Where am I living? I thought I lived in a city, somewhat city-populated area, without a lot of fields and trees and brushed for these things to live in or something. It's incredible what's still around this area. Back to you.
Oh, no, they got them around Detroit. Coyotes, they'll make a living. You hardly ever see them, but they make their living. They're usually nocturnal at night, you know, do their running around and kind of hide out and rest during the day. But, yeah, so the fox, was he... nice big fluffy fur coat, or was he kind of mangy?
Like you, it was kind of slim and trim, wasn't? Was a mid-sized coat. It wasn't real thin or real bushy, just in medium type. But definitely very. I don't. It might have been a young one, but it wasn't real big. It was about the size of a wiener dog, if you know what I mean.
We had one here. I was sitting on the porch here with some kittens, and one showed up out in the yard there where I usually fed the cats, and was sniffing around for some food. And man, oh man, I felt sorry for that guy. It was cold. It was middle of winter, and he was all mangy. A whole lot of his fur was gone, kind of thing, and you know, almost like bare patches of skin and stuff. And he was skinny and hungry and. I imagine he had a heck of a hard time keeping warm.
Yes, so that. Well, like I told you, I think I see Rambo's brother or sister or something running around here once in a great while. Looks just like Rambo. Poor kitten. I hope it's somebody's kitten that gets fed or gets in the house, but who would let their cat out there in the winter if they owned one? It's got to be a wild cat or something. But it's roaming around on in the snow and all the different neighborhood parts. But there's nothing I can do. You know, I don't want to put something out and attract foxes and all sorts of other animals for the cat to get and somebody else get it. And then I got animals I don't want digging at the house. But anyhow, back to you. KE4ZYQ.
Well, heck, let him in. You have yourself a nice little buddy to keep you laughing all the time. KEWOJ.
Well, if I had a cat in this house, no matter if it was domesticated or not, they could have a fun time tearing up the house with whatever in my house on different rooms. I could see that thing climbing on things, knocking things over, making things start on fire, whatever. My house isn't cat-friendly, let's just put it that way. Back to you.
Well, neither is mine, but Rambo does okay there. yeah, he does just fine. They're a lot better than you think, kind of thing. Especially if you, when he was young there, I got this, they got that canned air, you know, for blowing out keyboards and computers and, you know, different kinds of things, and it makes a heck of a hiss noise. So if he was doing something he wasn't supposed to, I'd grab that old can and give him a hiss, and man, he would take off flying. And after that, all I'd have to do is pick up the can, and he was like, okay, I'm done.
I could picture that. I'm over here grinning again, picturing what you're talking about, literally. That's funny. That is one way. I didn't think of that. That's one way to do that. And I think they used to say something about a can, like a tin can with something in it, shake it if a dog or cat's doing something wrong. When they don't like that loud noise, they'll realize, well, maybe I better not do that. I don't want to hear that noise again.
Well, so far I've never ran into a cat that wasn't afraid of a loud hiss. You know, even if you just did it yourself, they were gone.
QSL that. Well, not to be a Debbie Downer, negative or depressing. I'm still trying to get over the loss of David. That still hits me hard. I've talked to him like you off radio and shared pictures and text and talking and hobbies, and it's like losing a brother. At ham radio, it is a brother.
Well, clue me in. What the heck are you talking about?
Well, David, you know, the group talking in the morning, Keith, Terry, and David McGregor, he passed away. He got sick in the hospital and passed away, what was it, the 9th, Monday or something, the 9th of April, of February?
Well, Well, I'll be damned. I didn't know nothing about that.
Yeah, it's still hitting me hard because I got to know him like I'm talking to you a lot of times. Like I said, off radio and hobbies and just things going on, talking to the guys going to work in the morning many times. And just, like I said, like a brother. That hit me hard, let alone everybody else, I'm sure. Still, I'm still reeling from it. I'm glad I saved a lot of texts and a lot of things that we did and photos he shared with me and hobbies. And he just last summer, I think it was, just bought a very powerful, great telescope to look at the moon and different things. And he was into astronomy and like that. And well, I got, he even shared a picture of it with me. Anyhow, back to you.
That'll be enough, TJ. Good morning. Go ahead, STJ. Hey, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Rick. And good to hear you guys out here this morning. And Joe, I'm right there with you. I was listening to you guys earlier. I had to rush into the office. I was listening to you on the handheld in the office, and I heard you guys bring this up. And I did hear about it last Friday on the, I think Keith said something about it on the Wayne County repeater crawl. That hurts, man. That guy was always so friendly. He's always great conversation. He's always just very friendly to talk to, and he's an awesome man. So I'll miss that guy for sure. And I was very sad to hear the news. Over to you, Rick. Or actually, it's over to you, Joe. Sorry.
Z2CCI.
Yep, got you in there, CCI. And Steve, yeah, I'm glad you heard. I couldn't help but on the traffic net, the Spirit of 76, after that happened, to ask them if they didn't mind doing a final 7-3 at the end of the net, where net control called all the check-ins and everybody gave their 7-3 to the call sign, his call sign, and just said 7-3. But CCI, go ahead and take it and pass it over to Rick, W8OJ, KE8WOJ, KE4ZYQ. Go ahead, Tim.
Good morning, guys. I was talking to a guy on this repeater, and he's about 11 years old. He just got his license about 2 weeks ago. So you might hear him from time to time on this frequency. I'm trying to get him into the hobby and stuff. So, V3CCI, go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, well, that young man's name is Wyatt. And I believe he's had his license for a while, because if I remember right, he was Friday nights on the East Coast Reflector there. They have a kids' night. And he actually was net control there for a while. So I think he's had his license for a little bit. If it's not him, it sounds exactly like him there. But yeah, he's an interesting young guy for sure. Think I have
it? Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I've heard that guy a couple times. I didn't know, because is the 147.2, is that linked up to this family of repeaters that's now linked up? Maybe somebody knows, they can get it on the next round. I think I've heard that kid before. Good to hear, see some youth out here for sure. Very, very cool to hear that. Over to you, Joe.
KE4ZYQ. Yeah, like Rick was saying, he does the East Coast Reflector and Kids Night, or the Kids Net. He does a great job, very, very precise, very knowledgeable, very young at what he's doing. I think he's 11 years old, if I'm not mistaken. But very good young people coming into the hobby, getting to know the ropes and nets and going back and forth. And it's heartwarming. Over to CCI, KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, I don't know what frequency that East Coast Reflector is. I think it's 147.2, if I'm not mistaken. V3CCI. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, well, David, that's kind of a shocker there, and I feel kind of extra bad because him and I had a falling out there. We kind of wanted to go at each other there for a while, and that was the last time I talked to him. Now he's gone. Damn it. Steve, go ahead.
W8FTJ, yeah, I just, I was, you know, I missed our four-week all chat. You, me, and him would be out here. I didn't chat as often as you guys did, but about 4:30 in the afternoon on the 442.1, and yeah, I missed those chats, and I was very sad to hear that news Friday night, very sad to hear. Like I said, he was a great guy, always great to talk to, always upbeat. And he'll definitely be missed for sure. So, 73, brother, and guys, I got to get back in the office. But I heard you guys talking about him, and I just, like I said, I was pretty shocked Friday night to hear that. So I'll say 73 to everybody for now. Have a great day, guys. Make it a great one, and catch you again very soon. This is W8FTJ.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for jumping in. I haven't talked to you in a while, so I always like to hear from guys I've talked to and people like yourself. And, yeah, I hear you. I'm glad you jumped in here and said hello even for a brief moment. Have a good day at work. Safe travels to and from home and at work. And I got to apologize. I called Brad Tim. I meant Brad. I know VA3CCI. But go ahead, Brad, and then pass it over to Rick.
Yeah, my condolences to David. I talked to him. We talked to him on 4.1 or 4.2.1 in the morning, and he was a nice guy and always, you know, fun to talk to. But he will be missed. Over to Rick, V3CCI.
7-3, Steve, you're still there. Good to hear from. Good to catch up with you. And I kind of miss a lot of that, too. Seems like the only time I turn the radios on anymore is when I come up here for a cigar. And lately, it seems, last few weeks, there's just nobody on it. We must have 25, 30 repeaters in the area. There ain't nobody on any of them. So I wander over to England, to the United Kingdom, the HubNet over there, which is usually busy as can be, and it's the same way. So I have no idea what's going on, but... yeah, thumbs up anyway. Let's see, I'm not sure where it goes. It was going to, I don't know, well, I'm not sure whoever is next. I lost track.
KU4ZYQ is still here. Yeah, just three of us now. It was good to hear from Steve there. I like that guy. He's a good guy. One of these times in the summer here, spring and summer, they have a breakfast or some gathering. I got to go. I might try to see if I can make any kind of trunk swaps, like the GM trunk swap or something that's outdoorsy. I don't like going to Detroit to go to some hall, to stand in some busy hall to buy something. I'd rather go to outside if the weather is conducive to a trunk swap and where they sell stuff and all. So that way you get the fresh air and the walking around and then the camaraderie. But how's the weather over there in Canuck country there, Mr. Brad?
Pretty foggy over here. We got sun yesterday, and it was a beautiful day yesterday. Yeah. So, but we got fog this morning, so, yeah. P3CCI. Over to Rick.
Yeah, and good morning, Brad. Everything's going on. It's good to hear you. I haven't talked to you in a long time. I haven't even heard you in quite a long time. It's good to hear you. And things are going to get noisy over here pretty bit in just a minute or two. The garbage truck's coming down the road, so it's going to be real noisy here, so I might send one or two out. KEWOJ, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. I think we heard garbage trucks, so I don't think they'll block you too much. But yeah, garbage pickup. But yeah, the quiet vans and all, everybody's getting out doing things, other things, and a change of seasons. And by the way, Brad, when you get some good weather, it's because we're sending it over to Canada. We're supposed to be getting up close to 50 degrees or more over here the next couple of days, 45 to 50. So when you get that sunny or warmer weather, it's because we passed it over to you there. And we try not to pollute the air by the time it gets there. Hi, hi. Just joking. Over to you, Brett.
Yeah, I hear you. So, do you know if the FT991A works on a battery-powered supply or just a regular one?
Brad, I couldn't tell you. Mine's been sitting in the corner collecting dust. It's just not worth layering up there. But Joe's got one. He can tell you.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, Brad, like any ham radio, if you got a battery backup, as long as it's got enough power that you can draw from. I ran mine the other night on the round table right to before the Hazel Park Met last night. And they have from, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, their round table. And we were talking about backup power and using that for emergencies, let alone during the summer, when you got solar power capability to charge your backup battery. And I ran mine off a backup battery for a few minutes to show how it sounded. And they said it didn't sound any different. So as long as it's got enough draw power and enough backup for your power supply, I just changed my plug from my power supply to the radio to a backup battery plug-in that has a AC out, you know, plug out from the battery backup, and I ran it for a couple of minutes on that to show them how it sounded. They said, didn't sound any different. I said, well, it's got enough power, can power the unit. Over to you, Brad.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I hear you. And it's interesting, I read stuff on YouTube and there's a way you can improve your signal using your HT with like a counterpoise and water and all that kind of stuff. I never tried it, but yeah, that's pretty interesting too. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, Brad, I saw the same thing about 3 years back when I first got my license there, and I was going to give it a try, and I thought, well, it's just what I need is the handheld plus a long wire hanging out there that I got to dangle around and drag around with me kind of thing, so I never did give it a try. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Brad, if you're looking into any backup power for your main radio, whether it be a mobile, small mobile, or 991A, the shack in the box, look at EcoFlow. I don't have any stock in the company, so nobody, I'm not going to get a kickback for telling people, seriously. But EcoFlow Delta 2 or EcoFlow, they got a Delta 3 now. And they are backup powers for whatever, lamps, you know, if you want to run a thing in a park or you know, in a camping area, you want to run some stuff electric off of it or back up for your house for certain things, especially ham radio. Great unit. It's got already the operating system in it, a screen telling you how much power, AC out, USB, USB-C, different plug-ins. You can plug your phone to charge, whatever. And different places like Amazon and Costco sells those EcoFlow Delta 2s and Delta 3s, and solar panels too if you want. I have never bought their solar panels from them. Over to you, Brad, from KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. Yep. I'll probably try that. But, yeah. Two, three, CCI, go ahead, Rick.
Well, Brad, I've got the EcoFlow Delta 2 also, and every so often I'll plug that in. I go to a power supply, and then that goes from a power supply to a battery distribution box that's got a LCD readout in it, and it tells you the voltage and the amperage you're using. And basically, out that EcoFlow, I can pretty much run all my radios without a problem. Of course, you only transmit it one at a time, you know, kind of thing. But I can be receiving on one and transmitting on another kind of thing. It's kind of nice, and it'll last quite a while. And what I got the darn thing for was to run the sump pumps if the power goes out. So, and it works for that, too. So it's kind of nice and handy to have around. TEAWOJ.
Oh, okay. Very good. Leave it to CCI.
Yeah, one other thing too there, Brad, is if you got some money to spend and you could get one of those EcoFlows or backup battery that has a solar capability of charging, yours truly here was lucky enough to find a Renogy 100-watt rigid solar panels, two of them, and they were on sale through Amazon, I think, but they're rigid, meaning they're aluminum, they're not flexible. And they fit perfectly in a sliding window of the back of my house. So I get any sun, summer or winter, that can come out when the sun's out, and I can actually charge the EcoFlow or the Yeti, Gold Zero Yeti, as I'm using it. So I'm offsetting the power draw as I'm putting power in, and I can use it from 10 in the morning till 6 at night sometimes with only about a 2 to 3 percent draw or drain back on it. Over to you, Brad.
Okay. B3CCI. Interesting. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I should look up online. I don't know if Walmart sells them, but yeah, B3CCI. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, fellas, it's nice catching up with you, and you guys have a good one there. I'm going to get on out of here. My toes and fingers are freezing, and I'm going to get in and warm them up see if Rambo's going to tear me up today. Play with him a little bit. You guys have a good one, and catch you later. KEAWOJ.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Sorry, it took me a second here. I had to adjust something. How am I sounding right now, Brad?
Full quiet.
Took me a second, but I fumbled with the power cord. Right now I'm operating on backup power, and if it doesn't sound any different, this is the 991A on backup power, which is right here. All I got to do is unplug it from AC, turn on the battery, plug it into my extension cord, power strip, surge protector, and it's on backup power. Over to you, Brad, and then over to Rick, KE4ZYQ.
Yeah. So anyways, I know that you can get RF exposure when putting antennas in doors and stuff. But the easiest solution for me will be a magnetic loop. You can make them and stuff like that. P3CCI. Bye, Joe.
Okay, E4ZYQ, if you're passing over to me, I was swapping out power systems here. I'm back to AC.
not to drain the power back up, but yeah, I don't know anything about magnetic loops.
Yeah. There was a guy in Amherstburg that makes them. V3CCR.
I take it Rick signed off there. Well, I'll let you go there, Brad, if Rick signed too, and get some things done this morning before it's all gone. The day goes by too quick. It goes faster when you get older, at least it seems that way. KE4ZYQ.
Yep, 7-3 Joe. Nice to hear you again. B3CCR Cliff.
You're connected to CMN Network. Good morning. 0800 hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees.
Good morning, Wally. KFATDZ. Cliff here. What's going on?
Currently connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 0900 hours, clear, 31 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
At 8 MCD.
Good morning, 1000 hours, clear, 37 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
KCAKJO.
Good morning, 1100 hours, clear, 37 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
WDAKLL, I think it was, from KABD. Also mobile. Good morning. Name is Don. Heard you out here a bit, but I don't. I do a lot more listening than chatting. Heading down Woodward to toward the office. KABD.
You're connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, sunny, 47 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Okay, if I ask you, I'm sorry about that.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Sunny. 47 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
This is KF8FJH, Texas. This is KF8FJH, testing.
KFA-FJH. This is KFA-TTZ. I read you 5x9.
Connected to CMN Network.
Oh, hello there. I remember you forgot to say. Hold on, I'm trying to think about what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, that's right. Today, you know, I got my Christmas present from my sister, and it's been so long, I finally got it. It's a new radio that I'm testing right now. It's just what is it called? UV32? It's like in this green kind of, and I feel like it's a little bit smaller too, but I'm not really quite too sure. But how does it sound? I think I'm transmitting about 10 watts.
You're coming through very clear and readable. That is, now is that the Baofeng DM32UV or just the 32UV?
I think it says DM on the box. I'm not sure.
Go take a look, because if it is, you just opened up a whole nother world.
Oh, no, here it is. It's UV32. I was reading something off here. Yeah, this is the UV32. It's just in a different color here. It's got a little green in it instead of just black.
Nothing wrong with that, you know. People like to crack jokes about Baofeng radios, but I'll tell you something. Every one of us out here has at least one.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, there's a lot of Baofeng radios. I mean, I have a lot of them, actually. I also have a UV5R, which is the oldest one. I'm curious, do you have any other Baofeng radios?
Well, as you know, I have the DM32UV, which allows me to go digital as well as do analog. But I also have several of the Baofeng AR5RMs, which are very similar to your UV5Rs.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember now. You were telling me about those new radios that you got, or those Baofeng ones that you liked. Yeah, now I remember. We were talking a little while ago. I forgot about it, though. But yeah, it sounds like the new radio is getting in good. I am in a different location today. I'm not in Fraser. I am in Warren, around 12 and Ryan. But it seems like I'm getting into this repeater pretty good. I'm glad it's getting in there. Back to you. This is KF8FJH.
Yeah, you're getting in good. You're less than 3 miles from the repeater you're talking into.
Oh, I'm less than 2 miles? Oh, wow, that's really close. That's surprisingly because I'm at my sister's house, and it's surprisingly working really good then, but that 2 miles was really close, so I can probably get in here in low power. I'm transmitting high power right now. I can probably be at low power and still make it in here. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, at that distance, you actually just might. The repeater is located in the neighborhood of 12 Mile in Hoover, so it's between 2 and 3 miles from where you're at. If I remember right, low power on those is all the way down to 2 watts. If you want to take a shot at it, find a power setting, knock it down, let's see what it does. KFA-TTZ.
Okay, this is KF8FJH. I'm now transmitting on low power, which is only 2 watts for this radio. How does it sound?
You were right. You're close enough to the repeater that there is absolutely no difference whatsoever. You sounded exactly the same. You've got full quieting going on and everything.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. I'm probably getting in here, like, not to mention I am walking around the house I'm in right now, so that's pretty insane. That's pretty good. Not to mention, though, I am using this antenna that came with, because this antenna, it came with a little different thing. It came with, like, this microphone, you know, that you could hold in your hand, and then it came with this different kind of antenna that's way bigger, and it's got a big, it's kind of got a big part of it on the end, which is, I'm not sure, but I'd definitely say it's long, it's flexible, but it's pretty cool antenna. That could be working better, too. Back to you.
Oh, yeah, that definitely helps. There's a lot of varieties of those longer antennas. They range from, like, 15 to 19 inches long. A couple people out here call them armpit ticklers, just because if the braid goes on your belt, that antenna can reach all the way up into your armpit. And, yes, they do improve the performance a bit, as opposed to the shorter antennas. And usually, if I remember correctly from the tests I've done in the past, the match is usually better, too. So that means you're not wasting as much power having to go back into the radio when you're transmitting.
Gotcha. Well, this antenna also has, like, it's kind of got a silver part on the bottom, and you're right, it does kind of reach, like, when you have it clipped onto your belt, it does kind of reach your, almost up into your armpit. It's kind of crazy, but it antenna works really good for it, and it seems like this new radio is working pretty good, too, even though it's just the same as my UV-32s. But other than that, it's working out good for me, and got pretty much all the same stuff.
Good deal. I'm glad you're happy with it. Where you're at right now, just to let you know, because I know I've heard you over on the 2 meter side too, you know, 147, 144 frequency range. Where that repeater that you're talking through right now is located, there's also a receiver for the 2 meter repeater in Mount Clemens. So if you went over to that and tried to talk, you'd probably get into there pretty good too. I have no idea how good you'd hear from there, but you'd definitely be able to transmit.
Okay, we could probably try it. What frequency is that? One more time.
The frequency is 147.200, if I recall correctly. And I think the PL is 100. I would have to double check that.
Oh, yeah, I already have that one programmed in the video. All right, I'll switch over to that one right now. I'll see you over there. This is KF8.
All right, copy that. I am QSY to 147.2.
Good afternoon, 1400 hours, sunny, 55 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
Hello, this is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Anyone there?
Gotcha loud and clear, KF8 FMG.
Thank you. I was testing a new power supply, wanting to see how well it works.
problem, sir. KF8 FMG clear.
Thank you. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
KE8WUO. How's the map going, Darren?
Who was that?
It is KE8WUO. John, I was asking how your map was going.
It's going okay. As you know, there's some things that I've been working on with it, in particular getting the street names in a table of some sort. I also have some ideas for how to get some of the other parts working more better, I guess.
Well, good. Yeah, so far it looks good. I was surprised how far you're getting with it, and maps has always been something I wanted to perfect and get into. So I'm glad you found the time to do it, because we could definitely use that, especially when we're deploying and stuff like that. So I'll be very interested to see what you come up with.
Also, did you hear what I sent on Discord about there's a repeater that claims that it's not in Macomb County, but it very visually looks like it is on the map? Do you know if that is within Macomb bounds or outside of Macomb bounds in terms of where it actually is located? Because I don't necessarily know if the point on the map is where it actually is.
I haven't seen your message yet, but I will take a look. And I will say that repeater book is very unreliable for where the locations are approximated. So it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't where repeater book was saying it was, because, you know, kind of like I said in our Discord, it's very unreliable. I think even Sean has said before that a lot of the people, you know, since it's open source, you can go in there and edit the location if you so desired. And then some people don't want to put their actual location on there, so they approximate it. And so when someone did that, they might have approximated it in the wrong county by accident. But yeah, so I would... I don't know. I would say it's probably not where repeater book is showing it if you're seeing conflicting information. But I got to take a look and find out exactly which one you're talking about. But we'll see. KE8WUO. Darren, not sure if you heard my last.
Yeah, I heard you. I was trying to figure out the exact information for it. So it says it's in Clare County, and as far as I've been able to put together, Clare County is, like, very southwest, not necessarily even remotely in the same county.
Sorry to interrupt. Are you talking about that?
I only heard part of your transmission. I don't necessarily know what you were asking, but it's a Kilo Alpha 8 DCJ.
There's a repeater that comes up listed as Harrison Township in Macomb County, but it's actually way up north in Clare County.
So that one's all the way in Harrison, maybe a city over there in Clare County?
Yeah, you got it. Not even close to us.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
EAWUO. Yeah, that makes sense, because I actually have a cabin in Harrison, Michigan, up there in Clare County. on Arnold Lake, and so I often confuse people when I say I'm going up north into Harrison to my cabin. They're like, "What you mean east to Harrison?" I'm like, "No, that's Harrison Township. This is just Harrison." So I can kind of see how someone might put their repeater in the wrong county due to the name being like that.
There's also a repeater on repeater book named Dutton, Ontario. It's actually way closer to Lake St. Clair.
Good to know, and that's part of the reason why I like to verify that I can actually hit the repeater before putting it in my logs on my phone or on my radio so that I actually know that it can actually work.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few more that are incorrect on repeater book because I can't hit them and they're listed 10 miles away and nobody replies on them either.
Many of the PL tones and all that are just all wrong versus what's accurately, you know, what I'm actually using to get into repeaters is completely wrong versus what the repeater book versus reality. So repeater book is kind of it's not a very good resource. I mean, I guess it's only as good as what people put into it, and you got to kind of maintain it as things change, and it's no one really doing that for our area. So I guess we're stuck with what we get.
K-E-W-O-W-A-B-D.
Wally?
Yeah, did you get my email?
Yes, I did. I will make a link for the WebEx or the Zoom tonight, and I'll get that to Jeff. And someone told me that Fred wanted it too, so I'll get that over to both of them. And I'll give Jeff a call and just touch base, make sure we're all warm and fuzzy.
Ask Jeff that the someone was me. And so when you're talking to Jeff, ask Jeff.
Yeah, will do. I got to reach out to Fred today anyway for the MI6 stuff. So I just figured I'd just kind of touch base on both things at once. But I'll talk to Jeff and make sure that he's in the loop and you're in the loop, and I'll update everybody as we go. But I probably won't get into that until a little later tonight.
Okay, yeah, no worries. Then if you're talking to him, then just ask him direct. That's fine.
How's that new radio treating you? I'm using the Groundwire app right now. That's how I'm getting in. So, curious how you're loving that radio.
I'm talking to you on it right now, actually. So, it's got lots and lots of positives. The only thing I don't like is the scan routine. And next time I see you, I'll explain it to you.
Alrighty, well, sounds good. I will let you get back to it, and we will talk soon. K-E-A-W-U-O. I'll be clear on your final.
Thank you.
Thank you.
connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 56 degrees.
WATAT. KFAS, WATAP.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WADAP, KCAKJO.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Sunny. 55 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Cloudy. 55 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KCKJL.
You're coming and I'm going again.
I got part of that, but I hear you.
Yes, you're coming and I'm going again.
Yeah, I'm going home and you're going home.
Yeah, I'm about half a mile from home.
I'm a little bit further than that. I'm over here in Utica.
Yeah, at least you're headed the right way. That's a plus.
Well, I had to stop off at W88P's dot file, drop off a little radio for him that he bought off of me.
Yep. I'm pulling in the driveway here and get making dinner and whatnot, so I will say 7-3 if he can get with me.
All right, have a good night. I'll talk to you in the morning, probably. We'll see. KKJO.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 54 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 49 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 2000 hours. Clear. 50 degrees.
W8FU.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Oh, hot diggity. W8FSM, W8FU.
Yeah, let me key this one.
Kitty, go up, bye-bye.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, since she went relatively peacefully at home,
I'm driving her to the place that's going to take care of her for us right now. I'm about 1.9, about 2 miles away. So I didn't expect it to bother me as much as it does.
Oh, I'm sorry. The place that did our, you know, they did a little paw print and cremated her and got her box and everything here, so we got that stuff back too. But yeah, it hits differently.
You know, she
together,
she's a minute, and she's been, you know, problem-free her whole life. She's never had anything, just been one of them cats that, you know, never a problem. And even here, you know, we noticed she was a little, like, listless on Friday. She didn't look the greatest. So on Saturday, we were watching her kind of like, you know, should we need to take her in? I was kind of wondering. And then I noticed on Sunday, it was like, yeah, okay. If I don't see an improvement come Monday morning. But she found herself a little box and flopped down in it, and that's it. So, but, you know, she would drink a little bit, and I saw her go to the bathroom. She was, I think she might have nibbled at something, and she seemed to be in good spirits and wasn't dehydrated, and, you know, just, she's lost some weight, but, doesn't look like she was in pain or nothing, so I think her heart just gave out. She was breathing a little labored, you know, the last, 24 hours or so, and I think her heart was giving out. Anyhow, is what it is. I've been through this a number of times. It always sucks.
Somebody must have something connected together, because I heard you on VHF, Sean.
Oh, yeah, no, I was there. I'm normally not there, and first I tried there, but then I bounced back over here. That was deliberate.
All right, WHCMN.
So I got keyed up over on VHS at first, but yeah. Well, she went at home and peacefully, so I was hoping that would happen with bits, but we had to take her, and it was too much for her, so we just helped, you know. We did the rough, tough thing. And now you're getting to do the rough, tough thing, too.
Yep, and looks like I'm turning into the parking lot now, so I've never been here before. All right. I'm going to head inside and get this process going. Talk to you in a bit.
If you didn't know, your destination was on the left. So, hi, I'm, I plugged my Commodore 64 I got in today into the computer, into the screen, and I'm just feeling like I'm 8 years old. So, WF. Sorry again.
Oh, man.
Hey.
Hello, Don. Just left the funeral home. Tina didn't make it.
You'll have to refresh my memory.
Well, I'm not sure you knew my cat's name, but I think you knew I was having some cat issues, and she didn't make it. So, anyhow, I just dropped her off at the place that's going to do the cremation and that stuff.
Oh, I'm so very sorry. No, I missed that. Although I did. I think I recall now that there were issues, but I'm so sorry to hear.
been a bad week for Kitty. I was going to make a repeater-related comment in poor taste, which is why I keyed up, but I will refrain from that because of the topic at hand.
No, I'm fine. She was 16 years old if she was a minute. Could have been 17. I'll have to dig the records up, but no less than 16. Pretty much an uneventful life. She never had any issues her entire life. She was just a, as we say, junkyard dog. She was a junkyard cat. Never a problem. And even right up to the end, we noticed she was a little listless on Friday, and we were kind of, we watched her pretty carefully on Saturday, and I thought, this doesn't look the best, and she crawled off into a box last night, and found her all curled up, looking very comfortable this morning. So I'm good. It's I've been through this more than once.
Well, again, I'm very sorry. But it sounds like it was time, and it was, anyhow, yeah, it sounds like it was time. Sometimes they have ways of letting us know. Speaking of which, I have two felines sitting under the desk here, both looking at me like, when is second dinner? If they had first dinner, but anyway. My rude comment was I was noticing earlier that the repeater kept spewing CMN, and I was curious what was up with that. New announcements, as far as I was aware.
So a lot of the noobs don't realize just how wide and sweeping, you know, these networks are, how many repeaters are connected up and all that. In an attempt to, make it known, Fred had some messages. They've been tweaking for the last week or so. So while they were tweaking them, I was disconnected. And then when he got a final, message going, I connected back up. So you're going to hear that propagated from CMN. There's no point in anything else, really. It really gets the message across. But, I forget what the timing schedule is on it. Fred explained how often, and when we are connected, you'll periodically hear that. So it'll be a good way to know. Not that we're ever not connected in recent years, but hey, that would be one way to know.
Okay. Well, I kind of thought that was the case. I mean, I didn't know about all the background stuff going on, but I thought, okay, maybe there's just added transparency, or maybe there was a temporary link that was connecting things, and it was in announce mode or something. But anyhow, couldn't resist the opportunity to make a rude comment, so I had to take it. Anyhow, I am thinking of Tina, and I will sip a nip of something flavorful in her memory for you.
Well, if you hold up, I'll get home and get one as well. But no, like I said, it was a good life, and a good, as good as pet death as I've had. You know, I've had some that were tragic and way too early. My big dope was the worst one. I think it was 8. He got that heart disease that afflicts an awful large number of Dobermans. That one was just terrible, but and I've had others that were a little bit, you knew there was pain, there was some suffering at the end, and you try to prolong it, and you wonder if you're really doing the animal any good. We've all been through that, and this one here was just a real, peaceful, calm, and I don't think she was hurting, and I think she just tuckered out. So, but yeah, I'll have a drink on her behalf. And it's weird because I happen to know where there's 3 kittens right now that are going to need homing in a couple of months. How ironic is that?
Yeah, I was thinking about that from the chat we had with Fred the other night. So, well, sure you will make the decision that is best for you and for the kittens when the time comes. Or not, you know. But speaking of which, I'm gonna step away here and take care of culinary duties for these guys so that they will chill out. But anyhow, we will catch you in a bit then. W8FU KABD.
Right, and then, you know, the whole age and life expectancy thing that we discussed comes into play as well. So, you know, maybe I'd be better off adopting a, you know, 4 or 5 year old, you know, that needs, but Danny's got a need. It seems like serendipitous, if that's the right word. Not exactly right word, but all right, take care of your kitties. And I'll be in here for a bit until I get home and get back on. W8FU.
W8FU from W8RCY. Just sending along my condolences. Sorry for your loss. 16 years, that's a long life for a cat, I expect. I'm not familiar with the general life expectancy of cats, but she just tuckered out, so 16 years, definitely commended for it. Have a good evening, and we'll talk to you down the road. W8RCY.
Yeah, hey, Donald, how you doing? Yeah, 16 is officially long for a cat, and, you know, anything after that is like, wow, you know, have I heard of 17 and 18? Yeah. You know, I'm sure there's probably been a 20 or two, but yeah, once you hit 16, you're kind of at that definitely made the gamut. Anywho, it sucks, but like you say, you know, it's the problem with pets. You're gonna outlive them by you know, multiple animals throughout the course of your life, based on our lifespans, right? Unless you get a parrot. Parrot can outlive you.
Well, excuse me, back when I was in my late single digits, 8, 9, 10, I grew up with St. Bernards, and one lived to be 11, and the other one was unfortunately poisoned by a neighbor, and he was only 3. And that, for me, at such a young age, was hard for me to handle. And I've never really had pets growing up after that. I never had pets when I was married. I mean, we had a bunny rabbit because the girls wanted a bunny rabbit, so we tolerated the bunny rabbit. And finally it got out and lost it in the field out there. But, yeah, so pets with me are, you know, love to have them around, but I just can't have one around with me 24/7 anymore. Joanne's got a 8-year-old golden retriever, and first time she's had golden retrievers, she's had shepherds in the past, and most of them lived to be a full life. And and Murphy's just, I think he just still thinks he's a puppy, you know, as big as he is, and so I overheard what was going on earlier, and I wasn't sure until I heard you come out, and I was either going to talk to you tonight or tomorrow morning and just send along my condolences, and she's in a better place for sure. Other than that, I will let you get home and have your thoughts and have a toast to Tina, and have a good night. We'll catch you down the road. W8RCY.
I will. Yeah. So, yeah, 11 for a Bernard's got to be good. The bigger they are, the shorter the lifespan. I had Dobermans, and that'd be a good age for a Doberman. You get 12 out of Doberman, you're doing really good. And, but I had one that went at 8. I was crushed by that one. He was probably one of my favorite dogs ever. And 8. Yeah, that one was tough.
Anywho, all right, man. I'm a couple miles from home here. I might make a quick stop. But not at Dave's Hot Chicken, which I'm looking at right now. Catch you in a bit. W8FU.
Copy that. We'll be monitoring for about another half hour to an hour. I slept in this morning. I didn't get up until almost 8 o'clock. So that's why I wasn't even on the air this morning. Didn't even get my note fired up until almost 8 o'clock. So slipping in my old age. Anyhow, all right, take care. W8RCY.
Might have to turn in my man card because I had toy poodles separately, one at a time. KE4ZYQ.
Well, Joe, I'm down to one chihuahua now. He's 11, so now they also live up there into the teens, so I think we're okay. He's fat, but he's healthy, so I have no reason to believe we've got anything on the horizon with him. But that's it for me, man. Down to one fat chihuahua.
USL, that why the last dog I had was a male toy poodle. Female toy poodle. The first one was male. The last one was female, but smart as a whip. Understood English. When my wife passed away and she wasn't coming home, the dog looked at the door, waiting for her to come home from work. I said to the dog, Mama's not coming home anymore, Gidget. She stopped looking at the door and never did it again.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah, uncanny almost. But yeah, they're great. I just we've always had dogs and cats. We've always had dogs. We had dogs. Andrea and I got our first place in '84, and we grew up. We both grew up with dogs, and we bought a dog together. At our very very first house. And I think at a peak we had three dogs and two cats, but we've had multiples of each. But we've looked at the city ordinance to see if we were breaking any rules, you know. So I forget what the number is. You can have two dogs and three cats, or three and five total, or something. I forget. But we've definitely been at that max for a period when the kids were growing up. We've always had dogs and cats. The cats came about 95-ish. I did some renovations on the house, and when I had the back, this exact time I had the whole, I live on a dirt road with an acre of property, and I had the whole back of the house ripped off, and it was covered in bisqueen while they were building up the walls. It was like a lean-to, and they were building up to the full 8 foot and tying into the back into the house with the roof. And at the same time I had that project going on, they completely clear-cut a huge woods one house over from me. Every house in that neighborhood had mice, like, infestations. There were trucks up and down the street. I couldn't get rid of them to save my life. There's nothing I could do, you know, in that old bungalow and that, with it being wide open and cut it down. That's when we got our first cat. You know what? That cat took care of it in, like, I'd say weeks. That cat took care of that problem, and we never saw a the mouse turd since. And I said, that's it. They've earned her keep. We're going to have cats.
You got any cat that could take out my deer? November at X-Ray Zulu.
Yeah, that's funny. That's crazy about the cat, though. Well, my dog, Gidget, before she passed away at 9 years old, I was sitting there, her and I just in the house, sitting on the sofa watching TV, legs reclined up in the air. Dog goes in the kitchen, comes back out, barks at me, licks the air, licks up in the air, teaching me puppy language. And I said, what do you want? So I followed her in the kitchen. She looks at the empty water bowl and looks at me like, you're the human, fill it. If she could speak English, she would have said, you're the human, fill my water bowl. It was empty. So she licked the air, telling me she's thirsty, puppy language, and walked me into the kitchen to show me the empty water bowl. So obviously I filled it, kept it filled better than that. She was very good about doing that.
Oh, yeah. There was a study once done, you know, that dogs are fundamentally different than wolves. You know, they've done some tests to show, you know, wolves will get frustrated with something and you know, dogs will only go so long, and then they'll turn and look to us like, are you going to help here or what? And that's very, very different. But, deer. Yeah, I got a bunch, too. I got it. I had seven of them that were all living back here. And although lately I've only seen three or four of them, so I think some have moved on, but not real sure how many. You're going to have a lot over there. You know, you're close to the creek and all that stuff.
Edley, yes. And I have an airsoft that doesn't tickle them. I mean, it's standing there. You shoot it in the butt like seven times, and it doesn't even flinch. It's like, oh, come on.
They probably think it's just a strong fly. Talking about deer, I get them over here behind Community College sometimes. I see them on the camera walking by my driveway and around the corner down to the ravine in the middle of the subdivision. And I'm in a populated area, and there's just a couple wooded areas around by the hospital and behind my subdivision, but not much, not a big lot of acres. Four deer walking in unison, nose to tail. Walking through like an army expedition. Pretty interesting how they do that. KE4CYQ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like them. They're, people like to grow, you know, gardens, big, big gardens here. And, they're nuisances when it comes to that. Not to mention, danger with the vehicles and all that. But, all right, anyhow, I just pulled up at home here. I'm sure my wife wants to hear how things went. I just had to take my cat guide this morning. Well, I found my cat passed this morning. And I'm assuming she's, long story, anyhow. And I just got back from the place that I took her to have her taken care of, cremated, and all that stuff. So I'm sure my wife wants the details. Catch you guys in a bit. Get back on here. W8FU.
7-3, my friend. An 8XN.
Yep, 7-3 from KE4ZYQ. Sorry to hear about the loss of the cat. Still part of the family. KE4ZYQ, clear.
Good evening. 21 hours. Clear. 44 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening. 22 hours. Clear. 42 degrees. Good evening. 23 hours. Clear. 40 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.